up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. After a couple of weeks hiatus and a mental health break, which has mainly been at the cost of Bohemian FC, we are back with an episode, and things have certainly not picked up. But Pete has managed to get Elvis Horton blitzed tonight. You weren't in a podcast with Joe Rowley last week, Pete, no?
I'd be asking for a few more hurling blitzes the next few weeks so I can avoid going to watch bows, but that's where we're at the moment, but isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And before we kick off, just a reminder that this podcast is sponsored by McMovers, moving for you. Emmett's there, you want to move about. A lot of young people at Daily Mount, hopefully they're buying houses and they're saving their money now and stop watching this garbage every week that we've all been subject to. So McMover's moving for you, the most reliable and trusted moving services in Dublin, whether that's going to be commercial or property moving services. Give Emmett a shout, give me a shout, and I'll get you on to him. Pete will probably pick off. I was going to talk about the Rovers game, but to be honest with you, a hard-fought defeat means nothing when you've lost, and the performances just prior and past have also not really surfaced in terms of quality or performance or even result. Is really we're back in the doldrums, I think.
You can put in you can be forgiven for losing in Talla, I suppose, if you lose the right way, and we certainly did lose the right way. I mean, that was one of our better performances, but it's only worth something if you then go and follow it up the following week, and you go and put a performance in and you're showing those signs of progress. So we went to Talla, put a decent performance on. Should have scored 3 or 4, truth be told, and I suppose that gave her a glimmer of hope going to Inchicore. I was actually bullish enough going down to Inchicore, but what unfolded after that was just back to square one. It was regression at a rate of knock. We were really, really, really poor that night, an absolute nothing performance. So you've one good performance out of 2 and 0 points. So you're not gonna do it, and if that's the way you're doing your business, you know.
Yeah, I were out in Inchicore, and it was the fact that Matta went off injured, or Keane went off injured. Matta was already injured. There was no Roald Palmer. You know, they were missing essentially their two strikers and they're the best midfielder by a million miles. And I think the record of Palmer is fairly poor. And when I was being injured quite a bit, but they're missing the best three players outfield. And we were absolutely steamrolled, like, basically after the 8 seconds of the game. Pats just blew us away. We looked like a team who were completely never played with each other, oblivious to what was going on around them in the second half. Right after, I think it was the third goal, Pats came straight back down after the third goal, and ball goes in on goal, went down for a corner, and I remember looking around and it was heads down. There was no one looking for accountability, there was no one looking to see who was the problem was, and I don't know. We're a bit, I know, we had 2 points
the performance there this time last year in Inchicore was the exact same, just another nothing performance. Listen, traditionally it's not a happy hunting ground for us, but I mean, we always seem to be able to give them a game down there and create chances, no matter how poor of a team we have out. But just the last year or two, just been absolutely really, really poor down there, and topped off by again, as I said, just a nothing performance. And there's no other words to describe it. Really, it was just nothing. We offered nothing other than a cracking opening goal. It was there's not much more we can say about it. It was demoralising, and I was embarrassed leaving Inchicore, to be honest with you. Leaving the pubs around Inchicore, that's fans were saying, to hell in the name of God, he use up where he's earned that in that league table. Like, is it the worst thing we played? But the kind of commentary we were getting from Pats fans was embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing. And that's it in a nutshell. There's not much more we can add to it, really. Like,
what's concerning to me is that we're back to a stage where even after the game, that game, and after even the Shares game yesterday, after the game last night or against Pats, Renner said, oh, we were lucky the other day we come out there with a draw. And not in a million years would we have came out there with a draw or deserved to come out there with a draw. Even after the Shells game yesterday, I thought Shells pinned us back a good bit for a lot of the time. We did look dangerous in the first half going forward, but the second half, I don't think it would have been a travesty if we didn't get an equaliser there at the end. As Reynolds, word for word, he said it would have been a travesty. We didn't really knock on the door.
A travesty, yeah. Yeah, but when you're giving away stupid goals, I mean, like the John Martin header, for instance, like just giving away soft free kick, not marking up properly, no one with the desire to really, really want to stop Shell scoring. It was coming, it was a matter of time. They just had the upper hand, they had more energy about them, they wanted it a bit more, and it was all just so. You could just see it coming a mile away, and that's what the concern is. Like, if we can see it coming, how they can't make the changes on the bench to stem the tide or to stop it. I mean, like I said, we're 9 games in now without a win. Like, so after game two, after game three, after game four, I don't understand how we can't set up our team and say, listen, by hook or by crook tonight, we're getting a result. We're getting 3 points. If we have to be the ugliest team on the planet, we're going to go out there and get a win. Because 9 games without getting 3 points, without getting over the line, it doesn't matter if you're playing Rovers 9 times or if you're playing Real Madrid 9 times, you should be able to win one game of football out of nine. In those 9 games, how many of those games have we really deserved to win?
Right, you know.
Other than Tala, like, you can probably say we deserve to win none of those games. And it could have been a lot worse, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, we were pox to get the draw, Derry. Good second half. Did we create many chances? I don't know. Tierney was great when he came on. Did we deserve a draw yesterday? I don't know. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But
If Harry Vaughan didn't come up with that equaliser, we had no chances after that anyway, really. Would you have said that? Better take away the Harry Vaughan chance of that at the end of 2-1. Would you have went out there and went, oh, we should have got something out of that game?
absolutely wouldn't have even crossed my mind. I said we were beaten by a better team today, and that's been honest with you. So, yeah, it's scratch your head time again. It's like watching a mirror image of last year. Going through those spells, we once the chips start going in one direction, it seems to take us an age to turn it around, which is concerning. That's down to the management, that's down to the coaching, and that's down to us not being able to find the answers at the top
Oh.
end of the pitch. And we've now started leaking goals for fun as well. So,
What's really concerned me is, I think, set pieces. That, and it just brings me back to the foursome where, you know, we have two mountain centre backs, and we also have Senan Mullin, who I think must be 6 foot playing left back. Like he's no little short arse fullback. He's a nice bit of height, and so we've got, and he is a centre back in by trade. Senan Mullin is a centre back. Like he's not a left foot. So we've got three centre backs. The goal against Dundalk from the corner, I think it was a Ruby ran to the front post. Nobody went with him. He went to the front post. Everyone just stands still. It must be Zonal American. He nods it back, and there you go. Dundalk get the goal. The goal against Pats and Inchicore, I think it was Dale Rooney was marking. I think, I can't remember who it was. Was it Edmondson he was marking? And he got a free header. Pat Hickey wasn't marking anyone. So and even the free kick on Friday, Shells, another cross into the box. Nobody's marking anyone. It seems to be Zonal American from a free kick from that side. Like, you've three mountains at centre back. This is what we were doing. The simplest things we were doing in the first 9 games. Whatever they've done or whatever they're not doing, it's just completely flipped on its head.
Like, it's not size, it's the desire. You can have three of the tallest or four, or you can have the 11 of the tallest players. The ball is whipped into the box, you're not switched on, and you're not up for it, and you don't want to compete, and you're happy to give away soft headers, soft frees. That's what's going to happen, and that's exactly what was wrong with us for the goal. It was the softest goal. I was infuriated watching it. A steam coming out of my ears watching, and you could see it coming a mile away. One little lob, I mean, it wasn't even whipped in with pace. It was a decent ball, decent delivery. But I mean, you should be defending that. Like, it's made for a centre half to go and clear it, clip in a head height, go and win it, and clear your lines and get up the pitch. For a team that defended so well in the first couple of games and showed such resilience to get those couple of wins early in the season, but the air has gone out of the balloon altogether for me, and it doesn't look like it's changing.
No, and it seems that I thought the team selection, he's obviously had a big fall on there with Myers, but looks of things. Myers wasn't seen on the bench. I think he was asked by a fan, he injured, and he just sort of gave a bit of an eye roll or such,
Nobody
or
goes to heaven yet.
a bit of a smirk, a sarcastic smirk to say. We've also had basic Parsons having an absolute nightmare the last 2 or 3 games. He's come on, he looks like he shouldn't even be playing in professional football. So whatever bit of confidence he had at the start of the season is completely gone. He looks like a lost hope. And Douglas James Taylor, I don't know. I'm not seeing 100% from him. I don't know if that's fitness or whatever it is. Him, if he's just completely shot of confidence, people. He's our star man. He's paid to be our star striker, and he just looks miles and miles off it and uninterested to me.
Parsons, I mean, do you? When you signed Parsons, you kind of knew what you were getting. You were getting a tricky winger, who showed flashes of it, and the hope was that Reynolds has a relationship with him from Waterford, and he'll get the best out of him. He'll get him playing. He just hasn't been able to do it. So yeah, some of it's on the player. But good managers get the best out of these players, and they get them performing, and they get every ounce out of them. And he just hasn't been able to do it with several players in the last 10, 11 games. So I don't know where that leaves us in terms of our wingers, but we don't look like creating goals, and any goal we do get seems to be so hard worked for. Like even the goal yesterday, Dawson Devine late in the game, driving forward with the ball, so good. Keep going to the well for the same players all the time. Bit of magic. McDonald was probably a poor goal from the Shells keeper's point of view, but yeah, we just don't look dangerous enough.
What I thought was bizarre, I thought McDonald was probably our best player in the pitch on Friday or yesterday against Shales, and he whipped him off, and 10 seconds after he comes off, Shales put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's all.
I found it absolutely bizarre that he took him off after 60 minutes or whatever it was. And straight from that, he's gone out. The ball's in the back of the net. He was the only one. We were saying a couple of weeks ago, there's no one breaking the lines or trying to get in behind. McDonald was trying to do that multiple times throughout the game, and he took his
Yeah,
chance on the
well, the
wicket edge.
goal is a great example of that. Yeah, getting into a position where you want your wingers in, or you want Rod Tierney in those positions, but he did get into the position, and it was a great goal. Credit to him, delighted for him as well. Yeah, a strange one taking him off. He's combative in there, and especially when Shells were getting the upper hand in the game, you would have thought he would have been the first player to stay on the pitch unless he was carrying a knock.
And even I didn't understand. Obviously, when Reynolds at the stage where nothing's working, and he has to try out all sorts of different things. But even I think Colly Whelan should most certainly be starting ahead of Douglas James Taylor. I
Oh
think it
yeah,
was
100%. I thought Whelan was good yesterday. Not everything was working for him, but I thought his endeavours were there. And that just injection of pace he has. I just feel the whole thing is flat at the minute. Even yesterday at the game, I just thought the atmosphere was flat. I thought the mood was flat. And a little bit like that on the pitch as well. After it, you could probably say it was a half decent start, but we're just flat at the moment, and as I said, he's no credit in the bank but the supporters. But people are just starting to ask those hard questions again, and we don't seem to be getting much answers. I just can't get my head around again. I'm probably repeating myself at this stage, but how Bo's team assembles, with supposedly a good manager, a good backroom staff, can go 9 games without getting 1 3 points. It's staggering. It's staggering, like.
Like that's four. What's as many is that? Is it five draws? How annoying is it? 5 points out of a possible 28. 5 points clear, I believe. We're at 5 points clear at the top of the
You would have been
table.
better off losing 7 games and winning two. You'd have 6 points instead of five.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
You
like
know,
you
like
think about it,
that's
we're
you
now
like
not
it,
off the top. We were five clear.
yeah. And it those draws will catch up on you. When you start losing games, you start dropping points again. You start looking back on the day we had Shells on the back foot down in Talca, and we were happy to go out with a point. All these points, I just don't know. I'll tell you, Friday night won't be any easier up in Oriel Park. They're going to come at us like a house on fire on Friday night. I know they've probably slowed up in the last couple of games, but we get nothing easy up there.
No, I probably in the last 10, 15 years, have we won up there 5 times?
I know we won up there the last time we played up there, didn't we? The end of season game.
Yeah, I know we got a couple of results with Keith Long, but they were sparse. Like the
Oh
last
yeah,
probably.
we've an awful record up there. Now, look, the only thing I'll qualify that in saying is like they were probably at their peak. We were on our knees for a lot of those years. Like traditionally, I think we'd a good record up there in the 90s. But yeah, our recent record up there is awful.
Yeah. So it doesn't get any easier this coming weekend, and
No.
have a few questions here, Pete, from the faithful, the sad bastards of the Bohemian world, I should say.
Not as
You
sad as
see,
fucking me.
you see here, Keith Murphy, only 10 league games left in Daily Mount as we know it. Yet it feels like it's not enjoyable going around the ground, old ground 80. Arguably our best squad in years, certainly our most expensive. Where's it going wrong? Reynolds, Fenlon, coaches, clubs, mentality, fans, players too.
Yeah. I was
There
thinking
was a
about this
quote.
one today.
I
Go
was
on, go
thinking
ahead.
about it, there was a quote last week. We want to make this last year in Daily Mount a special one. They're gone a very funny way about it. We've got 2 wins in Daily Mount this season.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today, and I actually got nearly upset thinking about it, that we're sleepwalking through the last few games in Daily Mounts. And even as I touched on, in the match report there, just the mood was flat yesterday, and that's not how we envisioned it, So listen, I don't think ultimately it's gonna matter whether we're third, fifth, sixth. Obviously, we all want to qualify for Europe, but ultimately we want to see a vibrant team out there, and we want to see a team that's given everything. And I think the frustrations in among supporters at the moment is that we don't feel we're getting that. We're getting halves of football. We're getting a half an hour of good football here. We're getting 20 minutes of good football here. But other than that, like as a block, and even before these 9 games, there were signs that we were starting to unravel a little bit. So to answer Keith's question, I think, that is a bit of a concern now that we're sleepwalking through the last few games. And what did you say the number on remaining games of Daily Mouth were?
Can't be more than 12 anyway, can it?
Well, so listen, that's not a lot. They're gonna come ticking fast, and we'd want to start picking up performances. And listen, the cheerleader for all this last season of Daily Mount's gonna make it special. That come from the players and the managements. That they're the ones that were cheerleaders just before the season was starting. That we're going to make sure every game is memorable, and we're kicking the games off, and we're well aware of what it means to supporters. So, let's see a bit of that now, and let's see that talk when we play Drogheda and Dalry Mount on Friday week.
They said they wanted to make it the last season, especially in Daily Mount. And I was listening to with Paul O'Hare on the LOI Central last week, and he was talking about how probably Daily Mount is the most unforgiving stadium when it's going wrong for players and coaches. But he said, like, you have to make that long walk across the dugout to the Jody stand, which is probably the best stand. And the flip side of that is when it's going well and good, there's no better stadium in the country.
Well, the flip, my argument is that, well, if you don't want, number one, if you don't want to play for a big club where there's accountability, go and fucking sign somewhere else. And the second thing is, if you don't like that walk down the tunnel after getting beaten or not showing up or not giving everything for the badge, make sure you give everything for the badge. Make sure you leave it out on the pitch, because you're not going to get grief if you leave it all out on the pitch and the Endeavours are there and the supporters can see you. Supporters aren't stupid. And this narrative that people are trying to spin at the moment that, it's a hard place to play, and there are very unforgiving supporters, and we've a young team. Number one, we don't have a young team. We've Marcus Strudge, who's an under 21 international, and we have Sennan, who's had a good season, probably one of the better players this season. But other than that, they're all established League of Ireland players with loads of League of Ireland games under their belt. They know what it is. So, we have to he has to start trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. People are calling it for what they see. And as I said, if you want to be lauded, put in the performance that reflects that, and don't start sulking when you get a bit of jip back into the board if you're not putting it in, or things aren't going right, or you can't win more than one game out of nine. So that's the simple response to that. But even in the media, it's creeping in. As you said, Paul O'Hare picked up on it. Virgin Media were the same on Friday night. Boo boys this, boo boys that. Put into the performances if you don't want to take the flak. And a reminder to the players and management, you're playing for a big club, and there is expectation on you. That's why they're paid so handsomely.
Yeah, exactly. And with many times in Daily Mount over the years of under whoever it may be, and I know whatever the extra money might be there, we know we still probably only have a budget to challenge for the top four, but we think that squad is better than what it is. And maybe we have that wrong, and maybe these players aren't as great as we're being told, or they're not as great as we have seen, or that I think we've a very good start in 11, 12, maybe 13 players. I think our bench is still quite weak, but we definitely should be looking. But the start we had to the end of where we are now. I know people say we're toward, but like it's toward going in one direction.
Like we're third now, we could be sixth on Friday night. You know what I mean? Like Shells will win the home to Sligo. I think Derry will pick up a win, and if we're beaten, Dundalk will go ahead of us. So we could be sixth, and sixth with other teams having a game in hand on us as well. So let's not kid ourselves. We're in a real scrap just to stay up at the top end of the table. And if you win one game in your next nine, or you don't win for another nine games, let's see where we are then. But a bit of accountability needs to be shown now. And I said, go up to Dundalk on Friday night and do whatever you have to do to make sure we come out our 3 points. I don't care how he plays. I don't care how he stops the rot. I don't care what they have to do. Go up there and don't come back to Dublin unless you come back with 3 points, because the club needs it. The team needs it. The supporters certainly deserve it. And it has to happen on Friday. We need to get 3 points.
Yeah, we have another question from Stephen. How much is the abuse getting to our players, getting there? You know, they are impacting them. Players afraid to do anything in case the crowd is on their back straight away. That is the privilege and the consequence of playing for the club, the
I
biggest
think we've touched on it
fan
there. Yeah,
base.
like I didn't hear any abuse yesterday. Like I didn't hear any. You get your usual moans and groans. Like it's the same in Tolkien. It's the same in Richmond. It's the same in Tallaght, I'm sure, and they're not going well. We're not unique in terms of how we support our club. You know, we've probably learned to be a little bit more patient, if anything. So listen, they're highly paid professionals. They have to take the bit of moan and groan when it's not going well. That's part of the gig, you know. Don't look for a cop out. Don't look for an easy way. And as I said, you know, previously, if you want to shut people up, go and win games.
Yeah, Declan O'Connor, are we underachieving or are we where we should be? How many of our team get into any other Rovers team? Rovers have a lot of 17 and 18 year olds playing for them, 4 or 5, I think they played when they beat us. So I suspect they should be ahead of them anyway. But it's compared teams, I suppose you're going to be biased. I don't think there's probably any real, we're going to real answer Elvis or a balanced
Well,
one,
listen,
really.
it's the squad where I think the real difference is, you know, if someone asks, what's our starting 11, it's probably, you know, it's not far off the others, but the two and three changes, even the Shells made yesterday, or that Rovers can make, that can change games. We just don't have that really, you know. So, listen, where are we? And again, where are we? We could be challenging maybe for third and fourth. We should be improving though. We should be progressing. We shouldn't be going backwards with the squad. And it looks like we're going backwards and not forwards. And that's the crux of it, you know. People want to see improvement. If people could see us slowly building towards, you know, another transfer window in June, and we bring another body in, and that's, you know, another position solved, and we're building, we're fucking going backwards. We feel like the fucking place is going to blow up every Friday night at this stage. Like that's the madness of it all. We start off the season well, and we're complimenting them on the transfer window and the couple of bodies we've brought in. And all of a sudden, we're just back to square one, and we go nine without a win. So that's just where the kamikaze element of it is. You know, we want to see progress, not going fucking backwards.
Yeah, and Craig Banks here. He has said Rennie is in the job 2 years now, although there's improvement on what he inherited in 2004. Is it enough? He's brought in a bulk of the squad at this point, and inconsistencies continue. Only a ro for a Rovers double last year, we'd be missed Europe nearly 2 months since our last win. Struggling to see where the current project is going at this stage. Yeah, I think we're all in that position really, where you're kind of wearing a manager merry-go-round and. You know, who you get him, who you get in. Ultimately, obviously, that's not our job. But I mean, we are 2 years in. This is his team. Like, who was there that he didn't sign? Casper. I think he's probably the only one left, is he?
Well, yeah, obviously Dawson and Tierney were here before, but you know, I wouldn't classify them as his players. He did sign them. DJT, yeah, Colin Whelan, he signed. Dale Rooney here before him.
Yeah, Dave Rooney was signed by the
Yeah.
Void, so Rooney be the only. Yeah, Rooney and Casper the only two survivors, and the way Casper's going at the minute, he won't survive. He's an absolute.
Oh,
Like
stop,
you can
stop.
nearly attribute 2 out of 3 goals from this season. Like
Yeah,
every talk
yeah.
one, like he's as an absolute hell or whatever it is going on with him this year. It's just I don't know. It's just falling apart, and I think football fans in general they're very half. Like it's half glass empty when we're losing, it's half glass full when we're winning. But we're all seeing where this goes, but it's completely his squad. You know, he's t told us how good this squad is and trying to keep it under wraps where they think they should be and improve. And we are, he does have these patches where it seems he might go on and win, 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 9, and then he'll go fucking 10 games without kicking a ball into the back of the
Yeah,
net.
I just can't understand how we can't win one game of football in the last nine. I just, with the league being so competitive and so many games in the balance, I can't understand how you can't win a game of football in that length of time. Look, March since we won a game of football.
Sheldon Meek.
Like, fuck me. You
Sheldon
know?
Meek was the last time we had won a game.
Yeah.
That's where we
We're
are.
back to rattling off those statistics that we were doing all last season. We haven't won a home game, Friday night game in 2 years. We haven't scored. Another thing as well, I mean, which we were so good at last season, I thought we had cracked, was Dublin derbies. We've won 1 out of 6 Dublin derbies this season.
This season, yeah. Home one
We
against
were
Rovers, home one against.
relentless in them last year. We were fantastic in them last year. And that's the difference between us and Rovers. That's where the points are made up and lost, you know.
Yeah, just a few people. Rennie out. Stafford, Chippy, Gerrard, Jerry Farrell, all asking for a seal go back rant. Dougie being a passenger this year, time for an upgrade. I think we have to go back in for a striker in the summer. I think we know that we're going to have to go back in for someone else. Particularly Dougie, one, you can't rely on to stay fit. And he's not scoring in between. Like, if he stays fit, and I think that's a miracle for him, if he stays fit between now and the transfer window opens, many goals does he have to score for us not to consider getting someone else in where you can trust him not to be injured again?
I'm frustrated with him, but it's just a microcosm of what's going on all over the pitch, really, isn't it? Like, you know, he just doesn't look like he's going to score for us. Doesn't look threatening. Some of his touches, some of his build-up play has been decent. Some of his, you know, he good strength, good physique, but doesn't look like he's going to score goals for us at all. He's not
No, I
missing
think
chances.
he's played three and a half games.
Has he had a
Definitely.
shot on target?
I'm not sure if he has had a shot on target. Yeah,
Yeah.
that is a major concern.
Yeah. No.
Like, if he was missing open goals, you'd nearly forgive him more for finding himself into that position. But
Yeah.
he's ultimately
Can't
not
afford
changing
these to
it.
score goals, you know.
Yeah, and that's what he's paid to do.
Yeah.
So that's the
That's.
package. Bear with the centre half is over. He hasn't been impressive for a while. I think Kiki gets caught an awful lot. Balls down the channels of pace. Obviously, we played a high line. Unfortunately, that is also when we're passing the ball around and we're getting nowhere and we're the ball side to side, unable to break teams down. And then they can just send one ball over the top and catch us out, really. And that is happening an awful lot. But I don't know, when we brought Lee Cavanagh on Monday, and I know he's a young player and whatever like that, but to me, he doesn't cut the mustard for most.
Don't know. What I will say for it's hard from coming in after playing so little football, to be thrown in. I give my pass at the moment, but it depends on what the manager wants. He has to make a decision with conviction. Who's the starting, you know, two going to be, and you're going to have you need to have defenders that are going to defend. The way you've been defending is just not going to. It's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, and final question here, and I did hear this with my own eyes, so, or I did hear it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I think when Pat Fennin was going onto the pitch at the end of the match, and someone asked him a question: one win in, or no wins in 9, Nutsy Wentz is going to change. And Fennin turns around and said, "We're touring the league. What more do you want?" To me, that is very concerning. That he's one sort of. More or less, sort of, what more do you want? But a fucking win in 9 games for a start would be nice, but I don't know. I think Bolton fans want a bit more than just to be pissed
It's
about tour. Or a director of football to come out and say he's a tour, what more do you want?
yeah, but back to the whole fucking argument that we were going on about earlier on about just making the supporters out to be antichrist, you know what I mean? And you know, boiled brats and blah 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 and hard place to play, all the usual bollocksology we have to listen to. What do we want? We want a team that gives everything in the last year in Daly Mount. We want a team that's gonna, as you said, be able to get over the line in more than once in 9 games. That was going around last night. I heard that comment from Nutsy. Absolute bollocksology, you know. You could have been chased out after saying something like that to Chico.
Yeah, and to me, I think Bowles at some stage, no one's expecting to win the league here, but what stage is, have a go at it going to come into play?
Yeah,
And
and the draws will typify that as well. If you go for it and as we said, like 2 wins out of 9 is better than 5 draws. Go for the thing, especially
yeah,
when you're at home. Go for goals.
but just me for director of football, they said they found what more do you want? Like, you're the director of football, you should be wanting the club to win a league. I know that might be
That's it, mate.
unrealistic
Yeah,
by
yeah,
budgetary terms, but like,
yeah.
to turn around to fans and say, what more do you want me? Like, where's the mentality after winning from the upper?
That's exactly, like, not see a player who would have played for Linfield, would have played for Rovers, where winning titles was almost essential. You know what I mean? Where's that bit of winning mentality? Is that not flowing through the club? What do we want? We want to be competing. We want endeavour on the pitch. We want players giving it everything. We want the door being banged down to win games, not to pull a point out of an underperforming Chelsea team. The Chelsea were no great shakes yesterday. Yeah, they've good players, but like, we should be bullying them in Daly Mount Park, and we should be expecting a lot more than what we're getting. And without being spoiled, we're entitled to more than what we're getting. And the sooner people start realizing that, the better. And the demands, for playing with the club should be where they are. Are the supporters the only ones with a bit of ambition at the moment? Because the
Yeah.
director of football, based on his bit of back chat yesterday, doesn't appear to have any ambition. Doesn't seem to have any standards. That's not good enough. The run we're on is not good enough in any way, shape, or form. And for someone to try and, pin it back on the supporters, which we know is the narrative that's been spun, is out of order.
Yeah, absolutely. The accountability ends on the pitch. You can say about the fans and whatever, the atmosphere might be shite, and Pete, it's the little things now that sort of get to you when you're a fan. Pulling the jacks out of block A, number one. There's about fucking two toilets. There's two toilets. I'd say
Yeah.
about seven people can piss at one time now in Daly Mount. There's fucking two
Toilet
and a half thousand
apartheid in
people.
section A. It's grateful.
Yeah. Even if you think that even just the little thing, the ball boy sitting on the ball when we're trying to chase a goal. It's all these little things that just go through you at times.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
But
listen, we live
yeah.
in hope. We're football supporters, as you said, half full, half empty. Like, if we can get a win on Friday night, it'll be a good laugh on the train home. And
We'll be talking about winning the next night.
yeah, well, then you win on Friday, you turn it around, DJT scores a goal, and then you're bouncing into Drogheda. So, like, listen, it's not irretrievable. Like, it is still doable to have a good season. Where do I feel at the moment? I'm a bit deflated at the minute with it. I'm frustrated at the moment. I'm pissed off, and I probably like a lot of people. And this is not the podcast we wanted to be having, I suppose. We rather sit here talking about our famous, let's look at the next 5 fixtures and where we'll be after that. But I genuinely don't know where we're going to be after the next 4 or 5 games. And if I was a betting man, I'd probably say it'll be lower rather than higher in the table, or even at the same level right at the moment. So listen, I hope they can surprise us, and I hope they can go up there and win on Friday, because we're getting fairly tired at the minute.
A couple of things have passed over the weekend. We'll start off on Friday night in the BSC Invitational. The count to organise a nice night at the back of Davies.
Yeah.
Don't think you made it. Kev Denny was bopping about. I've seen a couple of
Bloody
your.
Sky are buying the rights for next year, I heard.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I think me and Neil Hopkins young for Alfie. Poor old Alfie. I think he had about 50 darts on double one to beat me, and he couldn't do it. Got to the next round, so well, you swept him aside, and his brother went on to win it, funny enough. So I say young Alfie will probably have to sit at home and practice darts now and not be going to bowls game. So Hopkins could probably get the whip out there for him losing to me. I haven't played darts since about 12.
Honorable mention to Tintin as well, who got out on buying for the even. Fair play to him.
Yeah, you got day release already. We'll see him back probably not after that performance anyway.
We'll get him back before the end, before the season's out, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then Bodge and Victoria got married on
Yeah.
the bank holiday Sunday.
Commiserations, Budge.
Commiserations, that's a 50% of everything you own is officially being signed off.
Yeah.
Couple of years' time, you'll see the kids once every fortnight. You'll have them for the night, signing their mass.
I've heard him blitzes now coming down the track as well.
Yeah. I think Wardy was there as well, so chatting to him about Dundalk and Bowls ahead of Friday. And he said, hopefully, they can pull their socks back up and get a win back on, but I do think Dundalk are going to be that team. They're going to probably hit patches, and then I think they'll have a bit of a fall off as the season goes on. And
Yeah, it's inevitable that they'll run into bother, first year back up, and they've probably put so much into the games they've won as well, but it's still going to be a seriously, seriously tough game. It'll be interesting to see how the bookies price that one up. We've been red hot favourites, and on Friday we were red hot favourites. We were red hot favourites against Shells. I don't know where the bookies are getting these prices from, but it'll be interesting to see how it's priced up on Friday now. So I'd have to fancy Dundalk if you're a betting man as the home team. They've beaten Pats up there. I think they took Derry scalp as well, did they?
They didn't age, yeah, I think so, yeah.
They've had a couple of good results up there, so yeah, that couple with our record up there and the pitch and everything else, yeah, could be a tough night. But
Don't know where we go with the team. Myers is clearly falling in love with Reynolds, probably one of the players who actually you've looked forward to actually going and watching and seeing what he can do and open up a team, and
yeah.
all of a sudden he's found himself in the stands and not getting a look in. To me, I thought that Derry game was screaming for him to come on, and just as we were starting to turn the screw a little bit, it was like,
Yeah.
no, Parsons came on and the life of us.
Yeah, he showed more than his glimpses than Parsons showed. Well, listen, let's not. I wouldn't get carried away with Morris. Like he's been good. He's shown flashes of it, but he's not going to solve all our problems. But Reynolds shouldn't be backing himself into a corner. He needs all the help and all the options he can get at the moment. So I hope whatever's going on is resolved and he's back in the squad Friday, because as I said, we need options, and we need different bodies chipping in. Especially at that end of the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure where we'll go with the team. I imagine Casper certainly won't live to spot the American Dream. Won't come into the net, so I suspect not.
You
But
know
we
what?
just.
Like Dawson playing in midfield, the rest of them can go and fucking sink for it after that, as far as I'm concerned. Like, no one has deserved their place. Anyone is droppable. Probably Sam Todd, the exception there, but Dawson and Sam Todd, the rest of them, there could be any number of them. No one could complain if they were left out of the team. And no, I wouldn't be surprised if anyone was in the team as opposed to out of the team. So,
To be
yeah,
fair,
good up there.
I definitely had McDonald's down. I thought you brought all the arguments
McDonald,
for him.
yeah, absolutely. And we'll need him up there as well. So, yeah, McDonald, for his competent nature in there.
Monaghan as a whole has probably been a bit of a disappointing signing, hasn't
Started off very well. Thought he was good in patches. He's neat and tidy, but just not impacting games enough. And again, what I will say, it's been hard from going from right full into midfield for bits of games, back to right full on the bench. So he hasn't exactly got a fair crack at a whip either, but that's probably down to himself and what's around him. So he just has to make sure when he is in the team, he's staying in it.
Yeah, and Tierney obviously found himself out of the team and back in it. You'd like to think he's had a bit of a small revival in the last few games, but ultimately we need that players up to the top of the pitch and putting the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, we need goals. We need goals, and we need to be more of a threat. As you said, Adam McDonald, great at breaking the lines, but he couldn't be the one that's going to be the danger man. We need. Said it before about Dawson as well. His shooting, like, is something that he needs to. It's the last piece of his game. He probably needs to sort out those shots from the edge of the box that he's making more of them. Like, I don't know how many he's blazed over the bar. You put him
Yeah,
up with
Graham
Salah.
puts them in. That's the difference, isn't it?
You pass it in, yeah. So if we can get off and even getting 3, 4, 5 goals between now and the end of the season, that'd be a great return. But it's the one little thing he's lacking just to really give him the 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think we're the second lowest goal scorers in the league, is it? Maybe
It's
toward could be.
impressive.
Just have a quick look at it there. I know our top goal scorer is Whelan. I think he's got 6 goals. And obviously they weren't exactly spread out. Three was in one game. 4 goals. He only scored 18 goals, which is third worst, joint third worst of Drogheda. So only Sligo and Waterford have scored less than us.
Five wins, one derby win. That they're starting to add up.
Well, basically 1 win out of 3. I don't know. It's The league is obviously, as I said, the league is obviously normally 1 in 8, but I mean, it gives you a good standing where everyone is, and I
I
think
think we've
it
six or
certainly
seven
won't
games
be
left in
leaving
May,
them
haven't
double
we?
24 this year.
Yeah, we've 6 or 7 games in May this year. So yeah, it's gonna hot up in May. We'll a lot of points to be played for. But we need to start winning games.
Move on, Pete, because just upsetting, isn't it? It really
Yeah.
is.
Yeah,
It's just.
deflate.
The player didn't even want to hear this week. I think we said it to us yesterday. We lost to Shells, just fucking radio silence for a week again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anyone will want to hear this as well. They'll probably start listening in the morning saying, fuck that, I'm in a bad mood as it is, but it needs to be said, and we need to get it off our chest sometimes.
Yeah, so look, P, going up to dock on Friday. Can Bowles do the ultimate Bowles and turn it around and win the 4 hour next fight? I don't know, but it'd be a good place to start anyway.
Yeah, listen, let's hope so. If you don't have hope, no point in getting out of bed in the morning and going up to Dundalk. So, yeah, listen, every game Bowls go into, rightly or wrongly, I always think they're going to win it. Whether that's in Europe, whether it's in the cup, whether in the league, so we'll be going up there, thinking we're going to win on Friday. And yeah, let's turn around, like, and let's give us a fucking decent weekend for once. Like, the last few weekends have been grim. But Friday rolling into Saturday, rolling into Sunday, we all know how can set the mood for the weekend. So yeah, go up there and get a win on Friday, and let's be enjoying looking at the league table coming back down on the train or on the cars or whatever on Friday night, instead of, as you said, radio silence, afraid to buy a newspaper, afraid to go online.
Yeah.
Give us a decent night on Friday.
Yeah, even if you think about those Wilson about dragging back into the misery, but like you had a, it should have been Sligo, you should be beating Waterford at home. You win
Yeah.
those two, you're an extra 5 points up, you're not even looking over your shoulder. Like that's how simple those around the nine fixtures were. All you had to do was two or three wins out of nine, a couple of draws,
Yeah.
and you're still ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Like, as I said, those nine games, Christ almighty, I'd love to go back and listen to a podcast and see what we predicted for like the this fair series of games. I think we predicted we'd win two or three out of the five. Fucking hell, yeah, like we've given ourselves, again, like we did last year, zero wiggle room now to try and kick on. So we have to win. We have to start winning games. I'd rather we went up there and had a right go with them as opposed to just drawing again, another passive draw. Go up there and then if it's nil all with 20 minutes to go, be bold, really, really go for the throat, because we need to start clocking 3 points. Draw's no use at this stage of the game, given what we've done up to now.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I know it's hard to see a win coming out of nowhere. I think it's going to be one of those miserable one-all draws up there. Think Dundalk need to get a bit of bounce back, or hopefully they're in a bit more free fall stage than we are. But I don't know. I think it's the first time. I'm not going to predict a win on this podcast. I think it's going to be one-all.
Yeah, listen, I'm quite the wrong. I think we're going to win. 1-0 Bowls, yeah. Second half winner. And a good journey home, a good spin home, and a decent weekend. It's long overdue. We haven't had a weekend where we can praise the team since probably since March, what'd you say, Cheltenham week. So it's long
Cheltenham,
overdue.
yeah. Yeah, long overdue. I think I'm all the Shawzy stag this week, so there'll be no El Paso for me. No, another idiot handing his life away.
Happy days, yeah. When he's heading off Friday.
Already off to Bilbao, back on the Monday.
Lovely.
So I think
Enjoy, Charlie.
the best man Coddy is a bit of an itinerary there. It certainly doesn't match up with what Fingus Row will be planning to do for the whole trip anyway. I can't imagine the count on a boat trip around Bilbao at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Imagine he'll still be in Monty Malone's pub from the night before.
Well, I'm glad the count's not going to Dundalk, because every time he goes up there, he never leaves the bar anyway. You know what I mean? So that's probably
Bad
glad he's
influence
been
on you.
missing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah,
keeps throwing the cider down on the table.
right. Pete, thank you very much. Thank again, McMill was a sponsor. Anyone need something milled
Yeah, fair
somewhere
play
in
to the
the
sponsors. Yeah, superb. Sorry for the rant, and sorry for the probably the negative, the doom and gloom, but that's
Yeah,
where we're at the minute.
we would love nothing more to be sitting here wanking
Yeah,
off
listen,
players and
hopefully we're
telling
here
them how
next
great
week,
they are.
and we've one of our guests on next week, and the mood is a bit more positive, and EJT has scored three, Reynolds has bad kick, and Fenland hugging supporters, and yeah,
Yeah.
I doubt it, but you're living, we live in hope, and enjoy
Done a bit of
Shaw's
air,
flag.
done a bit of airborne in that Podge's wedding. A couple of former players, so hopefully, I say, remember that promise you made to me at 2 in the morning? But you know, certainly reminding them of
Another
that.
shot, yeah, there you go.
Right, P, we'll wrap up as we do
Fair play to Jordan.
every other week. Come on, the fucking balls.
Come on, the fucking balls.